Welcome to Focus on Faith, a program of Christian music, thought and encouragement, presented by the congregation of Parapara'umi Baptist Church.
Kia ora, and welcome to the Parapara'umi Baptist Church service for this Sunday morning. Recently, I saw a job advertisement and I was really impressed with what it said. It said, if you don't check all the boxes above, that's okay. Above all else, we're looking for people with a passion and a thirst for learning and understanding of how it all fits together. We can teach you if you have the mindset to learn and grow with us. I think this may be similar to our Christian faith. When we start out, God doesn't expect us to know everything. To be a Christian, you don't need to be perfect. You don't need to have the Bible memorized or spend 10 hours a day praying. Nope. God says, I'll take you as you are. You can be filthy, genuinely rotten to the core, wanting to harm everyone around you. God says, if you're willing to open yourself up for me, I'll be there for you. Many years ago, Nicky Cruz, rotten to the core, was leading a gang intent on killing or destroying anything or anyone that got in their way. He took his infamous gang into a church for the intention of harm. God reached out and touched him there, and he was forever changed. You see, you don't have to be clean to come to God. You don't get cleaned up in order to take a bath, right? God will meet you right where you are today. And we're here today to provide you with that opportunity to meet with God, the living God, who loves you and cares for you, no matter what you think about yourself. Won't you enter in today? Sit with us, listen with us, and hear what God is showing us today. Pay attention. You may be changed forever. Let's join together to worship God. Learn and grow with us today.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song.
And on that day when my strength
your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Me inoi tātou. Please join me in a prayer. Gracious and loving God, we rejoice with great gratitude for what you have done and brought to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. You've taken away the power, the finality of death, and shown us that death is not the end of life. That even if our time here has an end, in Jesus you offer us the certain hope of eternity with you. You show us that love conquers evil and hate and injury, and you bless us with unconditional love. You've shown us that mercy and forgiveness are wonderful reconcilers, bringing together that which we've driven apart. You've shown us that darkness can never extinguish even the smallest light, but the smallest light can drive back darkness. And Lord, you challenge us to be Christ-like in the way we live our lives and in our relationships, our attitudes and standards, and to commit to making a difference in our community and our world. Lord, we pray for peace in our broken world, a world torn apart with war and violence. We pray that you bring to our world the peace that is only found in you. We pray for those who are suffering from the results of war and violence. Lord, please bring them physical and mental healing. We pray for an end to these wars and acts of violence. We pray for an end to the division between individuals, groups, and nations. We pray for your healing, for an end to all the trauma and hurting, and that your love will reign over all. And Lord, we pray for broken families. With so much brokenness in our world, we know there are children, women, and men deep in a world of pain and confusion and hopelessness. Some of them are close to us. Lord, please be with each family that's suffering. We pray for reconciliation, for each individual whose family has been torn apart by divorce or abuse, abandonment, drugs or alcohol, or the pain of the loss of loved ones. We pray that they will find hope in you. We pray for families on the verge of being torn apart, that you would bring peace and healing. And Lord, we pray that those who don't have a family and that they will find loving, kind, and supportive friends to love them and care for them. May they find a family within your kingdom. Lord, please teach us to serve as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for any reward except that of knowing that we do your will. Amen.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me. Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be a wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me, abide.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Greetings. Thanks for joining us this morning. I have an old book in my collection titled The Blackboard in the Sunday School. The subtitle is A Plea for Its Adoption by Teachers and Superintendents. And the copy I have has been personally signed, 1898. The book is an argument for the church to begin using what was then a modern piece of technology, the blackboard and chalk, and to use it as a teaching aid for children. And it was written because many church leaders were arguing against the introduction of what was then a new technology. And I've kept this book, not because I want to use this new technology or for any sentimental value, but because whenever I see it, it reminds me not to be afraid of new things. How often and how quickly do we ourselves argue against new ideas and new methods within the church? We can't do that. We've never done it like that before. Last week, we began to think about how our world is changing and how God is inviting us to do things in new ways, especially in terms of mission. But how do we know what those new ways are? How can we discern the way ahead? Discernment always begins with listening, not just to words, but to our whole world. There is a Māori whakatauki or proverb that says, Mā te rongo ka mohio, mā te mohio ka marama, mā te marama ka mātou, mā te mātou ka ora. Through listening comes awareness. Through awareness comes understanding. Through understanding comes knowledge. Through knowledge comes life and well-being. When we listen, we can find the way ahead. Polynesian seafarers made trips across huge distances of ocean in their canoes. And for many years, Māori traditional stories of waka deliberately travelling back and forth between Aotearoa and Hawaiki were ignored and discounted as impossible without the use of European navigational devices. Even as recently as the late 1960s, European writers were arguing that such travel was utterly impossible and that waka could never have made the journey across the open seas. Today, however, we know that such travel is entirely possible, and traditional Polynesian navigation methods and waka have proven to be just as effective as modern navigational aids and boats. So how do they travel such distances without modern aids such as maps, compasses, and GPS? Well, they did so by using cloud patterns and wind shifts, the currents of the sea, the flights of birds, the travelling pods of whales. They could lie on the bottom of their canoes, feeling in their bodies the pattern of the waves. We now know they were phenomenal navigators, a skill almost lost in modern people, but still used by traditional peoples, the Inuit who read the snow, the Bedouin who traverse the sand, the Aboriginal people who navigate the desert. All of them have an ability to listen to the world in which they live and respond accordingly. Whakarongo is the word for listening, to hearing what has been said, not just the voices of other people, but of the world in which we live. We too need to learn to listen deeply to our world, to others, and to what the Spirit of God is saying and doing in our world today, as we head into an unknown future. Whakarongo is our second word as we engage with the NZBMS mission material this year. We know that our world is changing, and not just in the world of mission, as mentioned last week. Global warming, COVID, housing affordability, the divide between rich and poor, and the globalisation of everything means that what happens somewhere else can impact our lives here in New Zealand. See how the war in Ukraine and COVID have created huge supply chain problems all around the world, making everyday items much more expensive. And if we think it is hard here, many developing countries are finding they can no longer afford to purchase food for their citizens. In a changing, chaotic world, how do we hear the voice of God to us today? What is God saying to us that we may need to hear in a world facing so many challenges? When we seem to have lost the way or unsure about the future, what might God want us to learn? Isaiah tells us in chapters 40 through 48 of how God spoke to the people of Israel to reveal the plans God had for bringing Israel back from exile in Babylon. For years the people have waited, wondering when God would rescue them and take them home. Perhaps some thought God had abandoned them, but Isaiah speaks to them and reminds them that God has not forgotten them, that he will rescue them. Isaiah 43 points to this promise. Listen to these words.
But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west.
Despite how they might feel, God has not abandoned them. God promises to rescue them. And then Isaiah continues,
"This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick."
God points him back to their past, to their history, to the great things he has done in the past. "Remember what I did back then? Remember how I rescued you? I will do it again." And then God says this, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." Paul Hansen, writing about this passage, notes, "Isaiah believed that the hour in which his listeners found themselves called for watchfulness. Destiny hung in the balance with earth-shaking events unfolding around them. The Jewish community was being engulfed by international developments that threatened to obliterate its identity and vocation as God's people. Accordingly, right at the point when his audience would have begun to yield to the soothing effects of the recitation of the traditional images of the Exodus, Isaiah introduces a clashing dissonance with the words, 'Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old.'" The past is important. Of course it is, because it reminds us of what has happened before. And in this context, the past reminds the people of God's faithfulness. "See what I have done? See how I was with you? How I rescued you?" But, and it's a big but, the past can't tell us what the future will look like or how God is going to act in the future. Like the people of Israel, the tempting thing to do when we don't know what to do in the future is to return to and cling to the past. God will rescue us just like he did with the Egyptians. So God will raise up a Moses figure and lead us back to the promised land. And here in the church, we too can be tempted to look back to the past, to the things that worked in the past. So we long for God to raise up another Billy Graham or whatever it was that we did before. And instead, God through Isaiah says, "Forget the past. Forget the things that worked before." Why? Well, says God, "because, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Don't look to the past, says God, because I'm doing something new. The future will not just be a repeat of the past. Sure, this passage reminds us of God's faithfulness, but then it invites us into a new future, a future where the same God who did those things will guide and lead us. Someone has said, "Faith is not simply remembering the past and telling the old stories, but being drawn into God's unfolding story." And in the middle of this verse, there is a question for us. Do you not perceive it? It's a crucial question for them and for us. Here we are living at a time of huge global change at many levels. Life for all of us has shifted. Do we sense what God is doing? Do we perceive it? Can we listen whakarongo to learn the path ahead? Are we able, like the sailors in the waka or the Inuits in the snow, to feel or hear the path ahead? One of the powerful images in the scriptures is that of wilderness or desert. God meets Moses in the desert. Elijah meets God in the wilderness. Ezekiel discovers God in the valley of dry bones. John calls people to repentance in the wilderness. And Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Most of us don't like the idea of wilderness. We want green pastures and lots of growth. And yet it is in the wilderness that God says to the people, I can make a way, I can make streams of running water, I can do a new thing. One of the things that NZBMS and the wider church are discovering is that we are, in a sense, lost in the wilderness. Let's be honest, the church as an institution is struggling. We have lost the trust of many people, and we no longer seem to have a message of hope to share with others. The public perception of the church is that all they do is want your money and to tell you how to live. But God hasn't given up. God is still at work redeeming this world and all of those on it. And the challenge for us is to perceive and hear what it is that God is doing today. And when we begin to hear God's voice leading us, we need to be willing and open to doing what God asks. Saul was a good Jew who loved God, and who, when faced with the growth of the early church, hung on to the past. Saul could not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and so he persecuted the church until one day Jesus encounters him on the road to Damascus. Struck blind, he is led to Damascus. Ananias was a follower of Jesus who God told to go and visit with Saul. And despite knowing that Saul wanted to destroy the church, Ananias responds to the new thing God is doing and goes to meet with Saul. And Saul goes from being a persecutor of the church to one of its greatest advocates. God was doing a new thing, even when everything looked bad. And Ananias was in tune with God, able to hear the voice of God in the situation. But what about us? What might it look like for us to listen and to hear what the Spirit is saying to us in our situations? What type of things might God invite us to do? This week a friend posted a picture on Facebook of their church in Christchurch. The picture was the roof of their church facility, where they just commissioned 120 solar panels, which will generate up to 60,000 kilowatt hours worth of carbon-free energy each year for the church facilities. But not only have they done that, they've provided e-bikes for their pastoral team, and they recently bought from the City Council a block of flats for low-income housing. Why? Because as a church community, they believe God has asked them to engage with the issues facing our country. Low-cost housing and climate change being two they are tackling. This isn't to say they have abandoned the normal things most churches do. They still gather for worship, but now in response to God's leading, they also offer multi-ethnic services as well. Together, they have listened to what they believe God is saying to them as a church community, and they have responded. But what about us here? What might God be saying to us about the things we need to do as the people of God here on the Kapiti Coast? May God give us the skill to listen, to hear the Spirit's voice, and to see what new things God may be inviting us into. And may we, like the ancient voyagers, set out for a distant horizon, guided by the Spirit, as we listen and respond. Let's pray. Creator God, you who made this universe, the stars, the moon, our planet, the whales, the ant, and us. God, you invite us to work with you as you seek to redeem your creation, to be part of making things right. God, as we look at our changing world, we wonder how it is we are to respond. Some of the issues seem too big, too hard for us to engage with. So God, we ask that as we take time to listen, we would hear your voice guiding us as we follow the currents of your Spirit in our world. Be our guiding star and give us the courage to follow you even when the end point is unclear. God, we ask that you would give us, your people here, a vision for how we can respond. Speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence I will live. All to Jesus I surrender. Savior, make me wholly thine. Let me feel your Holy Spirit. Truly know that you are mine. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely
A blessing to close. You are God's servants, gifted with dreams and visions. Upon you rests the grace of God like flames of fire. Love and serve the Lord in the strength of God's Holy Spirit. May the deep peace of Christ be with you, the strong arms of God sustain you, and the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen you in every way. Amen.
The voices you heard today were first Matt and then Jim, then Andrew and Xanthia. The first song was 10,000 Reasons, sung by Matt Redman. The second song, Search Me, O God, sadly is only listed as a cappella version, so I can't give you the name of the beautiful voice. Third song was All to Jesus, I Surrender, by Casting Crowns. Now, if you want to speak to someone, why not contact us? Simply Google Paraparaumu Baptist Church and you'll find all the details. If you don't have access to a computer, you can phone us 04-298-7766, 04-298-7766. You can email us and that will come direct to me, office@pb.org.nz. That's office@pb.org.nz, or simply go to Google and type in churches near me and you'll find a whole community of people who'd be happy to talk and help you through this period of time and of life. You've been listening to Focus on Faith, brought to you by the Congregation of Paraparaumu Baptist. Meet with us again, this time next week. Bye for now.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.